So, we are going to start looking at the math facts while loop, which we looked at last time. But I want to compare different things. And actually, I want to see if I can close everything down here. Okay, so we're going to look at math facts while loop, which is over under programs. And as I said, we've already looked at this, but I want to do the comparison and kind of review a little bit. Okay, so we've already discovered that I forgot to put the slash in here to close the HTML that I should have put in. And you're going to see that repeatedly because copy and paste is a wonderful thing. Okay, and it perpetuates all my errors. So they end up showing up in 10 different places. So anyway, I started out, and this is a simple while loop. And again, there are three things that I need to make a loop work. I have to establish my control. Variable count equals 1. That establishes my control. I have to check my control. Count less than or equal to 3 checks my control. And I need to change my control. Because if I don't change it, it will stay 1, and I'll go through the loop forever. So I have to change my control, and I'm adding 1 down there to change my control. Okay? Now, this one is got the possibility that I will never enter the loop. If, for example, I changed it, and I said, while count equals 5, set count to 5, and I came down here and said, is 5 less than or equal to 3? No, it's not, so it would never even enter the loop. Because 5 is not less than or equal to 3, so it would never enter the loop. Okay. Now, the next one for this, we're going to look at the math facts do while, not the nested. We're skipping the nested for a minute and doing the math facts do while. So this one has the do prior to going in. And I apparently got into a habit of writing a semicolon after this while. It doesn't have to be there. And in fact, I think it's better not to have it. But apparently I got into this, and somebody in the last class asked me about it. And basically it works just fine, but it's not what I would recommend doing. Okay? So here I'm going in, and I don't care what count is. I'll go into the loop. Because I'm saying do, and there's no condition on the do. So I go into the loop, and I do the line, and I do the line, and I do the line. And then it says, while count is less than or equal to 3. So I check to see if I should redo the loop. I will do it once, but I'm now checking to see if I should redo it. If I should do it a second time. Whoops, that's not what I want. I want this. This is what I want. So these are the two variations on this. Okay? I've got the while where I check at the top, and I've got the while checking at the bottom. And the main difference between these is if I check at the bottom, I will always do the loop once. And if I check at the top, depending on what I find out, I may or may not do the loop. Okay? So that's the big difference between them. Questions?
Do you have to assign the count or no?
No, I can just say answer. Well, I've got to it somewhere put a number in, because if I don't, when I come in here and do the add, it doesn't have anything to add. So at some point, I've got to do it. And I don't want to do it inside the loop, because if I set count equals one inside the loop, every time I loop back, it would reset count to one. And so, basically, I guess the answer is yes, because I can't see any other place to do it. Okay. Questions? Okay. Okay, the third one on this is the for loop. And again, I'm not doing the nested for a few minutes. And this is the for loop. Now, the for loop is really an easy one, because everything is written inside the for loop's parentheses. So here I have my set. Here I have my check, and here I have my change. So it's all happening inside the for loop. I'm setting, I'm checking, and I'm changing. Now notice here I didn't use count, I used I. For some reason, every time you look at an example with a for loop, they use I. Whatever. And so I just am in that habit, and when I start writing a for loop, I make the control an I. Go look at examples sometime on the web. If you see examples of for loops, inevitably they use I. And there's no good reason except people just started doing that. Okay, so I could have made these all count and said variable count, count equals 1, count less than or equal to 3, count equals count plus 1. It would work just fine. I just made it I because I'm in the habit. Okay. The change can also be written as I plus plus. And that basically would also, it's another way of saying add one to I. I plus plus is another way of saying add one to I. Okay. Okay, so now I'm inside the loop, and notice the what I'm doing inside is a little bit shorter because I don't have to add one to I in here. I'm doing it inside the for. So I don't have to add it in down here. If you looked at the others, I have a count equals count plus one. So here I would have an I equals I plus one, but I've got it up there in the for parentheses, so I don't need to have it. Okay. So this is another way that I can do a loop. Now this one lends itself to something where I'm doing counting. This does not lend itself to, I ask the user to get a Y or an N to tell them whether they're done or not. Yeah.
I just want to just randomly point out too, because of words, terms. The first part, set, can also be called an initializer. Second part, the check, be called a condition. Third part, be also called an increment or a decrement, depending on what's going on there.
Yep.
So, just a...
Yep. He is right.
So when people say initialize, they're saying set, condition,
right. If I initialize something, I'm setting it. Okay? If I set, I'm initializing it. Or not always. Sometimes I set it to something else, but lots of times they're the same. Checking always implies it's a condition, because what do I use to check something? I use a condition. I compare something. So check implies a condition. And if I'm changing it, in this case, I'm adding one to it, so I'm incrementing. Okay, and as he said, if I was subtracting one, I would be decrementing. That really is a word. Okay. Yeah, no, it really is. Okay, questions.
Was that last, what was the subtraction?
Decrement.
Decrement.
Increase. Okay. Increment and decrement. It just doesn't sound like it should be really a word, but it is. Okay, questions. Okay.
Why is the plus and the equal signs in quotes again? Document, right?
Why is the plus and the equal sign? Oh, because these are, I want to actually write out the plus, and I actually want to write out the equal sign in the formula. So those are littles that I'm actually putting when I write it out. I want to write the 1 and then write the, so I'm writing I, concatenating that with the actual plus sign when I'm printing it out. Concatenating that with an I, concatenating that with the actual equal sign, concatenating with an answer, and concatenating with the BR. And as I've mentioned before, this is the XHTML way of writing BR, and in fact, nowadays, we tend to not put the slash in. But it doesn't hurt if you do. I probably wrote this in XHTML days, because they were only a couple of years ago. Okay, so now I'm going to move on, and I'm going to look at the layers. And we looked at the first one on Thursday. Okay, we went through, this is the nested while. And we looked at this one on Thursday. And we actually went through it and played with the numbers. So I have now 2 loops. I have an inner loop and I have an outer loop. The inner loop is control, the control is count. And I can tell that because the while statement talks about count. So the outer loop, I think I said inner, the outer loop is controlled by count. The inner loop is controlled by count in. Okay? Now, what I do is I set count, and then I immediately drop through the loop that is controlled by count. I declared count in, but I didn't give it a value, because I need to give it the value right before I enter the loop. If you remember back to Thursday, I went through this loop, and eventually count in became a 4. And when it became a 4, it was no longer less than or equal to 3. And so I got out of the inner loop. Then I added 1 to count, and I went back to the outer loop. So count, it maybe is still less than or equal to 3, I come in. If I didn't have this line here, count in would still be the 4 that it was when I left. And so it would look and say 4 is not less than or equal to 3, and it wouldn't do the inner loop. So prior to entering the inner loop, I've got to get count reset so that it will start over again. And if you look over here, you can see the inner loop goes 1, 2, 3. The inner loop goes 1, 2, 3. And we will try that one more time. So the inner loop goes 1, 2, 3. And when it gets to 4, it gets out. So that's inner. Then it goes 1, 2, 3 again. Then it goes 1, 2, 3 again. Because that number is count in. So count in is going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 in the inner loop. Okay? So when I get to adding 1 to the outer loop and getting that up to a 2, I want to restart count in at 1. And so I do that by saying count in equals 1. And I restart it at 1. Okay? So basically what I've got is on the drop down, I reset. When I loop back the loop, I basically am incrementing. I'm adding 1, so I'm incrementing. So in the loop, I increment. I count in keeps growing. But when I drop down, I need to reset count in, so that it will be brand new when I start the inner loop again. That's a reasonably complex piece of logic. If you have any questions, please ask them. There's a bunch of people that look like they understand, and there's a bunch of people that look like, huh? So if you're one of the huhs, please ask. Yeah?
So the count never resets, just the count in.
That's right. I never reset that. It keeps growing because I'm adding one to count. But when count is finally no longer less than or equal to 3, I'm going to end. So I never reset that. Because you can see it goes, count goes 1, 2, 3, and it never goes any past 3.
So you always do the inner loop first?
I start with the outer loop, I drop down to the inner loop and spin through that with count at 1. Then I add 1 to count, make it 2, come back, count is now 2, I spin through to get 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3. Drop down, add 1 to count, it's now a 3. I go back, drop into the inner loop, and do 3 plus 1, 3 plus 2, 3 plus 3. So I keep spinning through there as I am doing it. Does that make sense, or do you have another question?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
If this doesn't make sense, ask. I have absolutely nothing better to do than explain questions. So, ask.
The only thing I don't get is if you always reset the count, how is it ever going to be greater than?
Because I actually don't always reset it. I spin through adding 1 to it until it hits 4. Then I'm done because I said I wanted to only do the math x up as high as 3. 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3. 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3. And so, and count is controlling the outer number, and count in is controlling the inner number. So this outer number that you really can't see because it's got the ink line.
So the 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3.
And that's count.
That's the count.
And for every one, every time count changes, every time count changes, I want to restart count in.
So then you have to do the plus 1, the plus 2, the plus 3, and then that's the count in.
Right, but I need to reset count in to 1, because if you look, I want to restart the number every time I change count.
Okay.
So count goes up by 1, and I want to restart count in so that I'll get 3 plus 1.
So the equals is the, is that the document, right, that display a message?
Well, what equals? This
number,
equals is my calculation. This equals is a
document right. Yeah.
Document
okay.
Right. And that's putting the actual equal sign on the screen.
Okay.
Those are good questions. I think they were clarifying. We'll see. Anybody else got any questions? Didn't his questions help? Okay, questions. Okay. So now, just to confuse the issue a little bit more, which is one of the things that I like to do lots, clearly, is we're going to look at the nested do while. And with the nested do while, I am doing exactly the same thing, but now I am doing it with a different structural loop. I'm doing it with a do while. And again, the semicolon after the while, I get away with, but down here I didn't do it. That's better. Okay? It's not that this is utterly wrong. It's just that it's probably better not to put it in. I mean, obviously it's not utterly wrong because it either wouldn't work or I'd get the white screen of death if it was utterly wrong. Okay? So, what we got here is a do loop. So the big change between this one and the last one is I had a while with a condition. Now I just have the do. And the condition shows up down here at the bottom, right before I go back. also my condition is showing up right before I go back, and it doesn't still want to write.
Okay. So the condition is showing up right before I go back, which basically means that I am testing just before I go back, as opposed to testing just before I begin. So I go back and I do it. But I only go back if count is less than or equal to 3. If count is not less than or equal to 3, I'm not going to go back. Now, the thing about the do loop, as we mentioned before, this means it will always be done once, because it doesn't check before it does the loop. And so I will always do it once. You're getting exactly the same result. And in this case, it doesn't matter which you do first. Okay? So I've got one while that goes with the outer loop, and I've got another while that goes with the inner loop. They are being controlled in exactly the same way. And you get to pick and choose what you want. Yeah.
Do you have to have the while on the same line as the bracket, or could you?
You can put it on the line below. But it has to be there. I think it's better on the bracket, but I've seen people, I'm pretty sure I've seen them put it on the line below. I always put it on that line, so I know. Questions? Okay. The last one is really an easy one looking, because it's the 4 nested. And again, because the 4 takes care of everything in the 4 statement, and this time I used I and J instead of count in, count in. Because it takes care of everything, it is really kind of pure looking. Because when I enter, look at this in a loop. When I enter it on a drop down, J gets set to 1. But then I go through this, and every time I go through it, I add 1 to J. So going through means it just increments, drop down, it hits and sets it to 1. And so basically this is kind of a way of reminding us that you always want to reset when you hit it on a drop down. And this is resetting. J equals 1 is resetting. So when I drop down, it does that. When I'm just looping, it's doing add 1 and check to see if it is still less than or equal to 3. So this is the easy way of writing it when you're working off something where you're working with counting. 4 loops do not lend themselves to everything you do, but they lend themselves beautifully to counting. Count how many times I'm doing it. Do it until the count, in which case is J here, is less than or equal to 3, or I is less than or equal to 3. And I purposely wrote this one time without any spaces between these things, and one time with spaces, just so you can see that you can write it either way. Now, while I was doing that, I should have taken out the slash and the BR and put it into the HTML. Questions? Okay. So the next thing we're going to look at, we're going to skip over arrays until Thursday. The next thing we're going to look at is the guessing game. So I've got 3 versions of the game. The first version is not really a game. It only allows 1 guess. So click on that, and it basically is telling you the random number that it shows up here. And we'll see how it does that in a minute. But there's a 1. That's the random number it chose. So if I type in a 1, it's going to say, you got it. And if I do this again, and I type, this time it shows 5. If I type in a 3, it's going to say, your guess is too low, but it actually quit. It didn't do it again, it just quit. So basically, all I'm doing is evaluating one guess. And so that really doesn't make it a game. So here is the code for it. Okay. So I am coming in here, and I am first getting myself a random number. Now, this is the formula that I can use, and there are other formulas as well, but this is a formula that I can use to get a random number. Random numbers are hard to generate. The code is very sophisticated, and they're hard to generate. So every language that I know provides you some quick and easy way to get a random number without having to write mountains of code. Okay? So this one basically gets a random number, but it's a decimal number. Floor converts it to make it a whole number. The 1 means instead of 0, it will start with 1. And the 5 means it goes up to 5. So basically, this is a copy and paste as far as you're concerned. Okay? If I want to go up to 25, I change the 5 to a 25. If I want to go up to 100, I change the 5 to 100. So that's the thing that you are interested in changing, is the random number max. So if I make that a 25, I'm going up to 25. If I make it 100, I'm going up to 100.
And the 1, 2? We can start it wherever
you can start it wherever you want as well. Yep.
So if you didn't put the dot floor is what makes it a whole number, or the math dot floor?
The math dot math is a series of math functions that JavaScript has provided me.
No, but you said if you didn't put a certain thing in that, it would become a decimal?
Well, math random gets me a decimal number. Math floor makes it a whole number.
Oh, so when you type in math floor, that's what makes it. So yeah. It will be received as a whole number.
Right. Okay, so then I go in and I say, document write the random number. Because I'm testing, and I want to test and see if things are working. So I'm writing out the random number so I know what it is, so that when I type another number and it says too high, I know that it did the right thing. If I wanted to turn this into a real game, I'd have to do a lot of things, but one of the things would be to eliminate document write the random number so that I tell people what it is, so I can eliminate that. But document write the random number, put it up in the corner there so I could see it. So then I wrote a blank line with document write BR, and then I said, okay, take in the guess. And I want it to be a whole number, so I do a parse integer on it, and it takes in the guess. Now on this particular one, I defined this variable as I went to use it. And that's something you'll see a lot of people do. It is probably better to define the variables all first. But this is an option you see lots of times if you look at how people are doing it. And it works. So I said define the variable here and make it an integer. And then I came down and I said, okay, now we're going to compare. If a random number is equal to my guess on document writing, you got it. Else, if the random number is greater than my guess, I'm documenting writing that your guess is too low because the random number is bigger than the guess. Otherwise, I'm writing your guess is too high. So this is like the problem I gave you to determine whether player 1, 2, or 3 had won. I've got 3 possibilities. They could be equal, the random number could be bigger, or the random number could be smaller. So I've got 3 possibilities. When I've got 3 possibilities, I have to ask 2 of the questions. And if I get a no to both of the questions, I can assume it's the third possibility. Okay? So, if I look at the flowchart for this, okay, so the first thing I'm doing is I'm generating a random number. And the random number, he's having a wonderful time playing with codes, the random number doesn't have to have the same name as the program, because remember, I'm supposed to do the logic before I do the program, so I may not know what name I'm going to call it in the program. So the flowchart or pseudocode don't have to have the same names. So I get the random number, and then I say, okay, now take in the guess. I really kind of like that one, so I'm going to fix it. If I adjusted the 10 down there, it would fix it. But that's kind of fun. Okay, so now I've got the guess. And so now I'm comparing. And I'm saying, okay, if the random number is equal to the guess, then I'm putting out got it. And if the answer is no, then I'm asking the question, is the random number greater than the guess? And if the answer is yes, it is low, and these should have been parallelograms. And otherwise, it's high. And the reason I say these should be parallelograms is I/O, which means input-output, should be in a parallelogram. I really much prefer rectangles, apparently, because I always instinctively put in a rectangle. But I/O and document write is I/O, because I'm writing, should be in parallelograms. So here's my stop. Okay, so there's my flowchart. I take in a random number, or I generate a random number, I should say. I take in a guess. I compare them. I display the result, and I stop. Okay. The reason this stops is because I don't have a loop. If I want to do something more than once, I need to have a loop. So, on the next version of this, we will look at, it has a loop. Okay. So, I'm going to go in and pick the second version, one game. And it has come up with the number one. And I'm going to type a 4, and it's going to tell me my guess is too high. I'm going to type a 1, it's going to tell me I got it. If I generate another one, this time it came up with a 4. So if I enter a 2, it's too low. A 5 is too high. And a 4 gets me the you got it. Okay. So now I have basically put this stuff inside a loop. I took the take in a guess and that if statement exactly the way it was, and I put it inside this loop. What I didn't put inside the loop is generating the random number. Because if I put the random number inside the loop, every time they got it wrong, it would come up with a new random number. And so I'd be chasing a changing random number, trying to figure out what it was. And that's not what I want to do. So I generate the random number once before I go into the loop. So I now have the random number. I've written it on the screen for debugging purposes. And now I say, okay, pick in my guess. If they're equal, put out, you got it. If the random number is greater than the guess, put out it's too low, otherwise put out too high.
now I got to decide whether to do it again. And so I'm saying, while the random number is not equal to my guess, this symbol is not equal. Okay? So I'm saying, while it is not equal to my guess, so not, this means not equal. So I'm saying it's not equal to my guess. As long as it's not equal to my guess, I want to do it again. If it becomes equal to my guess, then I'm done. I guessed it. I want to quit. Again, the semicolon here is probably better left out, but it runs with it. Okay? So, I have inside the do loop taken a guess, check it, and then if it's right, stop. If it's not equal, go back. Okay. Questions? So this one wouldn't be done well with a for loop because I don't really have a count kind of thing going on here. So this could have been done with a while loop. It could have been done as I did it with a do while. This just seemed like a good chance to do a do while because I want to always do it once. If I'm giving somebody a game, I want them to play it at least once. And so I said the do while means I definitely go inside. And so I'll use a do while. Okay, so now we're going to look at the flowchart for this. When I add in a loop. So, what I've got now, I'm going to do, yeah, right. It really is not remembering at all that I want to use the pen. Charming thing. Okay. So, I'm going to say start. And I'm going to say, okay, I want to get a random number. And then moving down sequentially, I want to get a guess. And then coming down, and notice I didn't bother to put that I'm writing it there because that really is just kind of a little side thing I'm doing so I can see what it is for debugging. But I'm going to take that right out if I ever actually give somebody this game. Okay, so I take in the guess, and now I ask if they're equal, and if they are, I put out the message, got it. And if they're not equal, I'm asking, is the random number greater than the guess? And if it is, then it is putting out the message, low. And otherwise, it's putting out the message high. Okay. So that's the end of this. And then I drop down and I ask the next question, which is the random number, is the random number not equal to guess? And if it's not equal, then I want to go back and let the person guess again. So I'm looping back. So that's showing my loop. I'm going back and letting the person enter in another guess. Otherwise, if it's a no, I stop. So if it's a no, I'm stopping. Okay? So after I've determined what message I'm putting out, I say, okay, did they get it? If they got it, I stop. If they didn't get it, I go back and I let the person guess again. Yes, no, maybe? Questions?
now I want to give the user the chance to play again. So if I look at the next one, it says enter your guess, and it's 5, and so I said 4, and it says no, and then I'm saying 5 and says yes. Now it comes up and says, do you want to play again, yes or no? Okay, so it's asking me, do I want to play again, yes or no? And so I'm going to say yes. And it says, okay, the number is 2. You can see it put it up, the number 2. I'm going to guess 1. It says no, too low. I'm guessing 5. It says too high. I'm guessing 2, and it says you got it. Do you want to play again? Yes. It says 4. I say 4. And it says you got it. You want to play again? This time I'm saying no, and I'm out of here. So it let me go through and play 3 games. Okay.
Mine is going nuts.
Okay, if you're playing this on Explorer, don't. Okay. Because Explorer doesn't like pop-ups, and I'm using pop-ups on this. So get out of Explorer if you're in Explorer. Okay, so what I did is, this inner loop, I now made it an inner loop, is exactly the same as I had on the other program. Okay, the inner loop is exactly the same. The inner loop is basically, The inner loop is basically a game. Okay, so the inner loop is basically the game. Because it keeps going while they don't have the right answer. So the inner loop is the game. The outer loop is controlling whether you want to play again. So it's controlling whether you want to play again. Okay, so the inner loop is the game, and the outer loop is the play again. So if they get it, I drop down to another prompt that says, do you want to play again, yes or no? And I enter the answer. And after I enter the answer, it checks. And it says, while play again is not equal to no. Okay. So the outer loop is controlled by play again not being equal to no. If the user types in an N, I quit. If the user types in anything else, I'm going to play again. Okay, so if they type in a Y, I'm going to play again. If they type in an A, I'm going to play again. If they type in an asterisk, I'm going to play again. I'm going to play again no matter what they type, unless they type a capital N. Okay? Now, what that does for me is I, as a programmer, made a decision. And I decided that the user was going to hit the wrong thing lots of times. And I would rather have it play again if they hit the wrong thing than quit if they hit the wrong thing. So I said, unless they hit an N, I'm going to play again. If they want to quit, they got to hit a capital N. Anything else they hit, they're going to play again. So in other words, if they don't follow directions, they got to play again. Okay? Because I told them to hit a capital Y or a capital N. And if they don't follow directions, they have to play again. Now, in the other class, we got into a discussion about uppercase. So I'm going to go and actually look at that. Did I save that? Yes. Okay, close the ink layer. And we'll go to W3 Schools. I didn't have to go that far. Just go to W3 Schools. And and I'm going to type in that I want to see JavaScript uppercase. And there is the example. So this says, okay, set up a variable. In this case, they called it string. And they put in that variable, hello world. And then they said, okay, take what's in string and convert it to uppercase. Two uppercase is a function, and functions always have two parentheses after them, like this. So I'm now saying, take whatever is in string and convert it to uppercase. And you can see it works below, and you can see the hello world that comes up. So what you would do if you were doing this is you would put up string, whatever you wanted to call it. That would be the answer to the prompt. So you put up a prompt, and you would store what the user typed in to, in this case, they called it string. Okay? We called it play again, so I could store it to play again. But let's say we call it string. So I put the answer to the prompt in there, and then I said, take the answer to the prompt and convert it to uppercase and store that in res. So then I can check to see, is res equal to an n? If it is, then I continue. If not, I stop. But the thing is that whatever they typed has been converted to uppercase. So if they typed a lowercase n, it's been converted to uppercase. And so my check of, is it equal to uppercase, will work just fine when I've converted it. Yes, no, maybe?
So yeah. If they type in a lowercase n, it'll automatically convert it to a capital N?
As long as I put that code in. Okay? And again, they just called these things string and res. I don't have to do that. And in fact, I can put it back. So I could say play again equals and put the prompt there. Whatever the person types goes into play again. Then I said play again dot two uppercase to the, assign that to play again. So I can put it right back into play again. So that means whatever they typed in has now been converted to uppercase if it was a letter. If they typed an asterisk, it's not going to convert, but I don't care. But if they typed a letter, it has now converted to uppercase. Okay? So that's a way that I can convert to uppercase if I want to allow them to type a lowercase n. I can always do a compound check also and say, if whatever is equal to uppercase n or whatever is equal to lowercase n, then go with it. But this is probably an easier way of doing it. Okay. Okay, so we will go back, bring up the source, and I want to do the flowchart for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say start. No, it's not going to say start. Okay. And I generate a random number. I have a prompt and I take in my guess. And then I start asking the questions. Is it equal? I am going to put out got it. If it's not equal, is the random number greater than my guess? If the answer is yes, I am going to put out low. Otherwise, I'm going to put out high. And then I'm closing this up and closing this up.
And then I have to put in my while conditions. So the first thing I'm asking is the random number not equal to guess? And if the answer to that is yes, I come up here. Okay, just like I did before. If the answer to that is no, then I am putting out a prompt. And the prompt is about play again. So I'm putting out a prompt. And then I'm asking another question. And the other question is play again not equal to N? Okay, because I've run out of room down there. So I'm asking if it's not equal to N. If it's not equal to N, then I'm going to come back in at this point, generate a new random number, drop down to guess, and go through and find out if guess is equal, if guess is greater than, if guess is less than. And I think I'm out of room down here, but the next thing would have been stop. Okay? I would have stopped at the bottom. Because if they don't want to play again and they enter an N, I am going to stop. Questions? Are you serious? Come on. There's got to be a question. There's just got to be.
You want to do the next thing?
Huh?
You want to do the next thing and see if they have questions then?
Right. Questions? Okay. Because you didn't ask questions.
Oh, no.
I was going to do it anyway. Don't worry. I want you to change this to not use a do while, but to use a while. Okay, I want to change this to use a while. Now, one comment. When I did this, I took and I defined all my variables up there at the top. Because there is this thing that happens when I don't define a variable. If the first thing I do is an assignment to a variable I did not define, JavaScript will define it for me. So if, for example, in one of those loops, I didn't define J, and so it would define it for me the first time. When I say J equals 1, it says, oh, you want to put 1 in a variable J, but you didn't give me a variable J, I'll do it for you. And it gives me a variable J. If the first time I use a variable is in a condition, it will say, wait a minute, I don't have that variable. How can I compare it? And I don't know what you want in it. And so it throws its hands up in despair and says, I can't help you. So, if you are defining a variable and you're going to ask about it before you define it, it's better to have defined it already. So I went up and I put my variable definitions up there. I don't think I actually had to, but I did that. So, what I want you to do is to change this so instead of a do while, I have it with a while. I want a standard while loop. So, get to work. Copy and paste this and make it into a while loop. Two while loops. Actually, I think it's okay if I don't move the things because I assign something to my guess and I assign something to random number first. But I've forgotten that I actually assigned to my guess before I... No, I don't. Because when I'm up here in a while, I'm going to use my guess and it's not has not been defined yet. So that's why it's better to put the variables up there.
You have to put her to sign anyway. It's a declarative error.
Yeah. So make the three variables all at the top, and then turn it into a while.
There's one. Right, one, two. Yeah, there's already one up there, so
right.
Move two.
That's right.
Any questions?
Pat is perceivably bored.
Oh, yeah.
So make Pat less bored. Don't forget, Pat already listened to this an hour ago.
Yep. If you get it, try making it into a for loop.
I really can't.
No.
Because you're asking questions as opposed to...
Hey, you don't have to have an increment there. You just don't have the increment, yeah.
Right. But you also... Your question... It's not really set up for a four. Yeah, you can do it, but it's jerry-rigging.
Yeah, you're right. Never mind. Forget
Ah, come on, make Pat happy.
You got it, awesome.
I almost saw your head warm, but it looks like you're just stretching. Your hands went up, and I almost saw we had a question.
No, my shoulders are stiff.
Probably happens more when you're working out. And actually, I'll be here till 4. Because I've got a meeting at 4.
Thursday, you guys are on? Thursday? Yep. Someone's asking.
Yeah. No, I actually said that I would stay late on Thursday if people wanted.
Yeah.
But so far, I haven't heard anybody send me an email, so therefore.
I don't know if it'll be a late one or not. They'll show up to the ground if it's not late like, for you or not. So, it's one we want. Sequel. More sequel.
Okay.
That's how I
do it. Sequel, alright.
Alright.
Pat says thank you.
Yeah.
Think you've got to test it.
Do you want you have two dukes. Therefore, you have to have two wilds. Right? It's a condition, so. There's the one on the bottom. You want it?
That really makes sense. So the W's be good.
No.
So did you get the stuff I sent you, Corey?
I did.
Okay. One of them I'd already sent you.
Yeah, I never got it.
And that one I... But it, since it was the same date, I figured that maybe you had it, so that's why I sent that again.
I think I'm having trouble with her email because I keep up on deleting my emails, and I just... My girlfriend just downloaded her email onto our computer, and we literally got 470,000 emails.
That's when you need separate computers.
Yeah.
And
I'll
then there's one of them I think I said I had to and the quiz I had to just
I had a question with like two of them.
So and those are later ones. I just went back and looked at the backlog. I haven't got them. If you get this, the next thing I want you to do is draw the flowchart for it. We probably won't get to that today. I'll probably get to that on Thursday. But if you've got it working, I would like you to draw a flowchart so that you can see the difference in the do while and the while and the flowchart as well. But we may not get to that. Or we definitely won't get to going over it, I don't think. Until Thursday. Anybody got it working? I'd like to know beforehand.
Okay.
All right. So send me an email.
Because at least that's after my last class. Like, I wish I would have never put classes back to back had I known.
No,
that
right.
Was the big mistake right there.
I have to go see all the new Star Wars stuff. My family played like the man, but I have to go see it.
I might
how you do it. You just flip them around, right? Yeah. Now, if you want to declare your variables right on top, I would do that. See, how many variables you got on the program? Good. So there's one already on the top. Say you want to make two more variables on it, you just hit there. How would you do that? Yeah. Well, you wouldn't put that the thing there. Okay. You'd initialize it by saying, I want to use this, but right now it's empty. Right? Okay.
So
yeah.
We're gonna go over this, so we basically yeah. Yep. I'm gonna give people another minute or two, and then I am.
And it works. So as I told you, I decided to define all the variables up above. So play again, state of y. I moved the random number up here and gave it an initial value of y. And I moved my yes up there and gave it an initial value of y. All that means is I didn't have the var next to my yes, and I didn't have the var next to the random number. I just defined them up there. When I put the var next to them down below, it defines them as it hits them. But if it hits them more than once, it goes through defining them more than once. That's not a big deal, but it's probably something I don't want to do. So I put them all up there, and then I said, okay, while, and this is the outer loop. And the outer loop is controlled by whether or not I want to play again. So I said the same condition that I've had down below. While play again is not equal to n. Well, I've already established it as a y, and so it can't be it can't be an n. Okay, so I will go into it and play. When I asked that question down below, it was after the user had already put something. So it probably wasn't terribly important to have an initial value. But when I asked the question before the user has played it, put anything in,
it's always best to have something in there, a default value. And so my default value was why. Yes, I want to play again. So I said, while play again is not equal to end. So exactly the same question. And then I took in a random number, I wrote it out, and then I said, while the random number is not equal to my guess. Exactly the same question I'd asked before. Well, random number, in the other version, I'd already had my guess. This time, I don't have a guess. They haven't guessed yet. But I've said that my guess is zero. I've already generated a random number, and it's not going to be zero. It's going to be between 1 and 5. So that means that I know that the random number, which is between 1 and 5, is not going to be equal to my guess of zero. And so since they're not going to be equal, I'm going to go in and play. When you put the condition at the top, you have to be a little more careful because the user hasn't typed something in. And so you have to be a little more careful that my guess and the random number aren't going to both be something the same. So you kind of have to make sure, okay? In fact, you have no idea what's in the random number and the my guess. It's whatever happens to be sitting in that spot in memory that the memory variable got set up. So it's 99.9% of the time it will be fine, but that 0.1% of the time, it's always a nice idea to define things. Okay?
Random note, too. The reason why those variables are up top makes it look more professional, one. Number two, when you've got a program, you're looking at it, you know what you're going to use. It's like saying, I've got a hammer, I've got a saw, and these are there. So now what am I going to do with these? You know, that's what it is.
Okay.
It makes it easier to include everything. So now
right.
You're trying to say,
it's
everything
readable.
Accounted for.
It's
and when you come up to having another variable, go back up and define them. Now, as I said, when you look at examples on the web, lots of times you'll see people that define them on the fly.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's just a different style.
But it's not the best.
It's not as professional as
no.
Make it easier to make mistakes and more advanced.
So this is a better way of doing it.
Because later on you're reading the code and you're like, wait,
yeah,
what is that?
Yeah.
What is this variable? I don't even understand. Where is it in the middle of this cluster?
We're just doing little baby programming right now. I can imagine the website having, you know, 40 pages of code.
Oh, sure.
And then you're looking for that variable
yeah.
And that 4 pages of code. And going, what?
Well, you gotta,
no, that's when you really want to have them defined at the top.
Yeah.
Is when you've got 40 pages and you go in looking for them all.
Sure.
Alrighty, we're done. See you Thursday. Or see you today if you want help. Pat is around tomorrow from 2 to 4. And he and I are here Thursday.
Let me take a look.
Yeah.